There is something about the temple of God, God's dwelling place, the realm, the place where God inhabits. There's something the Spirit has been trying to reveal to mankind concerning this place. The psalmist says, we have heard of thy loving kindness in the midst of thy temple. We have heard of that. We've heard a rumor. We've meditated on your loving kindness that is in the midst of the temple. The temple called the temple of God. We have heard of the great things, wondrous things that are in the midst of the temple. Hallelujah. He further adds that a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. Praise God. I just read Psalm 84. Hallelujah. I just start from verse 4, Psalm 84, verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising you, meaning continuous praise. Continuous praise for those who dwell in the house of God. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filled the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion, appearing before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in you. Those who trust in God, who confide in God. Those who dwell in the house of God, in the temple of God. Praise God. A day in that place is greater than 1,000 years anywhere. Meaning that all that we can go out to achieve or think we enjoy outside of God's temple is nothing compared to the bountifulness, to the majesty, to the wondrous splendor that those who inhabit God's temple behold. Praise God. In this world, obviously, we have been conditioned in our mind to think of a temple as some kind of orderly arrangement. A building with chairs, all arranged in an orderly setting and all that kind of stuff. So, but the temple of God is not something like that. temple of God represents a dwelling place where His presence is found. The temple of God represents a dimension. Oh, hallelujah, praise God. And when you enter into this dimension, this elevated place, then you discover the eternal presence of God. So, and to enter into that place, you must, by all means, put on the garment of the saint, which speaks of a new consciousness, meaning that you walk in the Spirit, walk in the Lord, to enjoy and see the presence of God. There's nothing like a man cannot enter into that realm. Nothing abominable can enter in and actually partake of, you know, the presence that is in God's temple. We speak here of an ascension. Praise God, hallelujah. Those psalms, around that Psalm 80, speak of the ascension, meaning to attain to the place of where God's presence is, there has to be an ascension out of the lower, you know, life we have lived as men, so that we can walk in the celestial life that is known of God. Jesus Christ says, blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. The pure in heart. We are beginning to discover that the pure in heart is not just necessarily a good man. Rather, it speaks about a new man, a true man, the true creature of God. Hallelujah, praise God. So the Spirit has always been seeking to remind man, to direct man, show man a pathway into His temple. Praise God. And this is possible now. Hallelujah. Because like we saw what Jesus Christ did on the cross, when He split the veil of the temple, He was indicating free entrance for every man back into this presence. That is where life is. That is where the joy that we seek it, seek is, is. You know, it says, in His presence is the fullness of joy. In His presence is power. In His presence is security. In His presence is the all wisdom and all power and all glory and everything that we ever need. Praise God. When you speak about the inner courts of God, the temple of God, it's all synonymous with God's holy mountain. It's all synonymous with the tent of God upon God's holy mountain. Synonymous to the new Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth. Praise God. When John saw the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, he observed that there was no temple in it. We begin to know that the temple of God is a realm that we all enter in the awakening. Praise God. And it's now, because the gates have been opened for every man. You just need the discernment of the Spirit to see that entrance into the place of life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Paul, in the later years, got a wind of the revelation of the temple of God. And we see that this was a Paul who was very zealous at a stage with the, you know, with the traditions of the Hebrew religion, the traditions of the Jewish religion, with the traditions of Moses. And you know, he was so zealous and so devout, a learned man who was so, you know, well known and revered among his peers in the days of old. But all that was to change when Paul encountered the light. Paul saw the light. And when Paul saw the light, he now began to understand that, you know, the wisdom of man is like foolishness before God. See, we have erected all kind of things in our minds that have actually hindered and blocked us from God's presence. We have hindered, you know, we have raised up a lot of beliefs. We have gathered unto ourselves many things that have actually blinded us to the reality of what God's temple is and how we can enter it. See, the wisdom of man is seen in all spheres of humanity. And you know, it manifests itself in religion. Religion is a very powerful tool of the devil. Religion is a powerful tool of what? Of the devil. Praise God. I tell you, it's easier to reason with somebody who is a drunkard on the street, somebody who does, you know, what we term as sin, who is sinner, somebody who is a drunkard, who lives a wayward life. It's easier to reason with that person than to reason with somebody who has been so indoctrinated with, you know, the wisdom of religion, which is actually the wisdom of man. Praise God. But God is revealing today a way back into his temple for every man. Praise God, because we can see that there is something about the inner part, the inner temple of God, the dwelling place of God, that every man must awaken to. Paul says, don't you know that you are the temple of God? This is an enlightened Paul, a Paul who had seen the light. He asks, don't you know that you are members of Christ? Don't you know that God dwells in you by his Spirit? Hallelujah. He adds in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Praise God, which temple you are. Are you listening? And he adds in verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Paul is saying here that the wisdom of this world cannot give you this understanding, because it's foolishness. See, how can you be the temple of God? How can God dwell in you? How can you be that holy dwelling place of God? How is that possible? So you must receive this revelation from above and recognize that your place, your way to safety and life is first of all recognizing what you are from eternity. It can never change. Truth is truth. No matter how many centuries might go by, no matter how many sorrows, you know, contradictions, anything that you have faced in this world, That temple remains the temple. Praise God. No matter how far a gold nugget gets transferred from place to place, no matter where you drop the gold nugget, no matter the conditions it is subject to, no matter how deep it is buried underneath the earth, no matter how many times it has been extracted, and it remains the same. Praise God, it's a divine temple. Praise God, that's why you see a temple of gold, a tabernacle of gold. It's divine. It can never change. Nothing, circumstances in this world and in the ages to come can never change the fact that you are the temple of God. Don't you know that you are the temple of God? And the temple of God is holy. Oh, hallelujah. But somebody said, I'm sick. How can that be? Somebody said, after all I've done, I'm still the temple of God. Praise God. After all my failed walk with the Lord, always stumbling, am I still the temple of God? Don't you know that you are the temple of God? Praise God. Do we think that truth can be changed by the way we behave? Do you think that truth can be changed by our ignorance? Impossible. It cannot be changed. The temple of God is holy and consecrated unto the Lord. You see, and men go through all the hell and the pain and the destruction because they are ignorant of this secret. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says that if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Now, does it mean that there's God somewhere in the sky destroying you, putting cancer on you? See, making sure he gets you and, you know, dissolves into powder. See, setting a booby trap for you to get you and all that kind of stuff. Of course, it doesn't mean that. It simply means that when we deviate from this reality, that this temple is holy, consecrated unto God, we suffer death and destruction. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Any man who's aware of this secret lives solely on account of the Spirit of God. Any man who's aware of this secret is joined to the Lord in one purpose. It's holy. It means that this temple is, this body, this temple, this consciousness, this existence is the Lord's, the eternal Lord of glory. Praise God, hallelujah. Is the Lord's. Praise God, hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you know, Paul continues on this subject, the temple of God. See, the letters to the Corinthians were very, very deep, powerful letters. Particularly, you see, talk about, you know, communion, talk about the last trumpet, the twinkle of the eye, the resurrection. See, they're very, very deep, deep things, you know. And you see, they weigh a lot, so it's good that we meditate on these things. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I just want to read something to confirm what we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 down to 18. It says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I make the members of Christ and take the members of Christ and make the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he that is joined to an harlot is one body, and the two seeth it shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. See, praise God. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God, which is, temple of the Holy Spirit, which is of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Praise God. Paul is revealing a great secret. You see, when you look at the letters of Paul, this particular letter, this particular verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you see an urgency, you see reverence, holy fear, as Paul says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Now, what is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. And the Lord is the Spirit. So when he says Holy Ghost, it means it's an invisible body. But that is the Lord's body. The Lord's body. Hallelujah. It's just like putting a jigsaw puzzle together. You see all the pieces come up together and form one big picture. We are all pieces that form that big picture of the temple of God. Don't you know that you are the temple of God? Praise God. And we know what happens to fornicators. The fornicator is the one that, is not faithful in this union. Because we are one with the Spirit of God. When you speak of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Lord, you are speaking of a composite body, and that is all of us. It's not kind of a wing somewhere in the sky, a wing, kind of thing. All those things are allegories. Praise God. When Jesus Christ says he's sending you the Holy Spirit, and he shall be with you forever, he's speaking about a union. See, we're being gathered back consciously into that body of God, and we'll be with that body forever. With the Lord shall we be forever. Praise God. So you see that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. See, that is, we are one with the incorruptible, Spirit of God. The Spirit that remains in the heavens forever. Spirit, the body of Christ, the Lord. They're all interchangeable, words that describe God. Praise God. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Anyone that, is not faithful to this union, when there is a deviation from this union, this one spirit with the Lord, what happens is that man is termed a fornicator. And if you are not married to the Lord, to the incorruptible Spirit, obviously it means that you are married to this world. Praise God. And when you are married to this world, God is not doing anything. See, you just simply deny yourself the totality of the glory and the liberty that is associated with God's Spirit. Praise God. And now you are not married to this world. And you know what happens when you are married to this world, when you are joined to the flesh with the spirit of this world? You are married to mortality. You are married to corruptibility. See, and you are subject to the powers of hell and death. Dying, you die. It's a continuous process. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you know? The Spirit is here to give us an understanding. So awaken every man who is sleeping right now in this false sense of mortality. People who have married idols, married the world. People who have defiled their garments with flesh, with the consciousness of flesh and blood. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, to enter into this temple of God and to behold those wondrous things we just read in Psalms, to behold the beauty and the majesty of God, which is really wondrous, it's something that is beyond words. See, there is no man that can experience life in God's temple, any man that can see the sheer majesty, the greatness of God, that can truly walk away from that experience. You might try to be rebellious, you might try to go your way, but you will definitely have that feeling at the back of your mind forever. Because you stand in awe, and you know, you begin to behold the righteousness of God. And you will, you know, behold and observe how ignorant men are in this age. So all the suffering and all the pain and everything is due to spiritual ignorance. People are not recognizing their way back into the temple of God, the inner courts of God. Hallelujah. So God is revealing a pathway back. Amen. A pathway back to God. Now we're going to carefully speak about the prayer of David. And I'm going to connect this prayer of David back to the temple of God. Praise God. The prayer of David. We know what happened, David. At a time when kings go to war, David was at home, resting, slothfulness. And while he was at home, the temptation came that would cause David a lot of pain and a lot of anguish of soul. David, a man known to be faithful, a man known to have walked with the Lord with a pure heart, suddenly found himself doing things that he could never imagine himself doing. Praise God. Let us recognize that a king in Israel represents the true state of every child of God in the awakening, or we can call it from the beginning. See, the king in Israel, which are actually all those kings in another message, we speak about the prayer of Manasseh. See, you have other prayers of, you know, other kings and all that kind of stuff. You will discover that kings are simply allegories of you and I, reigning in Christ, seated upon the throne, reigning in Christ. Praise God, it's real, it's true. Amen. So we're going to look at David. David was somebody who allowed slothfulness leading into temptation and leading into sin and transgression. Praise God, we know what happened. While the kings went to war, David was at home showing a sign of slothfulness, and he went to the balcony and saw this pretty lady who was nude having a bath. See, and of course, like we know, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. The idle mind is the devil's workshop. Praise God. When Jesus Christ says, occupy till I come, he's trying to say, keep exercising yourself in the spirit. Exercise yourself in the knowledge of Christ. And as you do this, I come in you. I'm made manifest in you. It's a continuous exercising ourselves, you know, in the mystery of Christ, stirring up the gift in us, stirring up the Christ in us. That's what it means when it says, occupy till I come. When you cease to occupy yourself, to be busy, you become lazy and slothful. See, remember the parable of the faithful servants and the slothful servant? See, the master gave all of them talents and went far away. And you know what happens is that some of the servants traded with that talent and were able to yield more fruit, while one of the servants, which the master later termed as slothful, took his talent and hid it under the ground. And that is a slothful servant. Slothfulness, because he was unable to put to use that which the master had given to him. Every man has this talent within himself. Every man is there, no matter what the outer might look like, that talent, which is actually the seed of God, is within you, is there. Praise God. And your ability to recognize this talent and utilize it, not being slothful, letting it just be there. Because when you leave the talent and just let it be there, you only wind up in prison. You only wind up in, you know, behind bars, among, you know, condemned. So when the master came back, he was not pleased with the servant who had not, you know, traded with the talents. That is how it is when we are slothful in the things of God. We have to keep the fire burning. Keep the fire of the Spirit burning. Continue growing in the knowledge of Christ. Continue exercising yourself in Christ. Don't be slothful. Don't you know, give up to carnality. Don't give up to the ways of this world. At times in this message, at times when you walk in the Spirit, it can be lonely. Very, very lonely at times. Praise God. Lonely in the flesh. Why? Because people don't hear what you say. You're like an outcast. But you must remain firm. Continue. Continuity. And, you know, how do I put it? Being constant, being consistent is the key. So David, in a sign of slothfulness, will not go to war. Said, when the kings went to war, and in the process, he began to look downward from that elevated balcony, which talks of from the heavens. He looked downwards and saw a naked woman called Bathsheba, having a bath, a pretty lady. Praise God. If he was probably occupying himself in more noble causes, he would not have looked down and seen that thing. Probably that woman had done that thing year after year, but he never noticed because he was occupied. But a moment of slothfulness, the devil comes in. Praise God. And we know the story. He lusted after her. He lusted. Doesn't it remind you of the sons of God in the days of Noah? See, they looked down from heaven unto the daughters of men, and they loved them, and they liked them. And you see, the sons of God in the days of Noah actually descended to marry the daughters of men, which is an abomination. Sons of God don't marry men. Don't marry flesh and blood. Daughters of men represent flesh and blood. See, and that is the fruit of this, their union, descended sons of God with flesh and blood. The fruit of their union was the mighty, violent men in the days of Noah. Praise God. The fruit of transgression. Praise God. You cannot. Transgression is only a deviation from the one life, which is the Spirit. We are one with the Lord. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. To transgress against the Lord means transgressing against your union with the Lord. David looked down from the balcony and lusted. And what happens? The lust leads to murder. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. It led to murder. Because what he will do now to acquire, he coveted. First of all, he lusted, he coveted, and now he murdered. To have Beersheba all to himself, he had to send Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, to the hot battle spot where normally people get killed, so that he could acquire the wife. See, and he carried on in that way, you know, without even looking back. And they had a child out of that union. Out of that union, which is actually adultery, fornication. Until the word of the Lord came to David. The word of the Lord came to David. The same way the word of the Lord has come to the world today. Telling David how he had transgressed against God. David had become a murderer. His old garments were now stained with blood. See, he had descended from that noble kingly state into becoming, you know, an ignoble man, ordinary man of the dust. So he received a reproof immediately from the prophet of God. And David repented. But does it end here? The prophet says that the child that David had with Bathsheba will surely die. Praise God. Now that union David had with Bathsheba that brought forth that child, the seed of fornication, is actually the flesh. You see, we've all read these things already, you know, short while ago, that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, and he that is joined to the harlot is one flesh. Praise God. And flesh and blood is an abomination before God. Flesh and blood cannot access the things of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you see, the word came that child must die. How many of us know that flesh and blood must die? The end of all flesh must come for man to see life again. Praise God. Hallelujah. The moment a man deviates from that union with that Lord, he becomes a fornicator, an adulterer. And don't you know that friendship with this world is enmity with God? He's not talking about trying to be, you know, live as an impossible person? It's not a call to nastiness, to rudeness. It's not a call to be holier than thou. But it's a call to be mindful and maintain the bond of the unity of the Spirit. One Spirit, one Lord is what we are called to live in. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. By now, David had lost out on the joy of his salvation. He had lost out on that relationship that he had with God. That relationship that exalted him above all kings, that exalted him above all his peers. That relationship with God that was the joy, his strength, his glory. That thing had left David. Praise God. When we begin to walk in flesh and blood, in the flesh realm, you can only walk in sin consciousness. Praise God. In guilt, in sorrow, in pain, and it can only go worse as long as you walk in the flesh and blood. In carnality. Praise God. That is why the word has come. It's like a trumpet sounding, awakening back. Awake from the dead. Awake from that life you've lived on this earth as a mere mortal in relation to the beggarly elements of this world. Awake to the life of the Spirit. Awake to the reality that you are the temple of God. And rediscover the joy of your salvation within the confines of the temple of God. You can do it now just by awakening. No matter what you've experienced in this outer world as a result of rebellion or ignorance, God can raise you up. The power of God is working right now and willing and able to raise you up from every hurt, every pain, every sin consciousness, and to bring you back into alignment with the Spirit of God, the Eternal Spirit. See it in the famous rapture verse in Thessalonians. It says that the sound of the trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised up. We shall be raised up to meet the Lord in the cloud, in the air. So shall we be with the Lord forever. The cloud, the air, speaks about the spirit, is the body. So shall we be with the Lord. And incidentally, you know, the glory of God will normally appear in the days of old. We're speaking of allegorical views, because God is not a cloud. We're talking of pure spirit. God is not a cloud. We're speaking here now in allegories. We're speaking a spiritual tongue now. In the days of old, the glory of God will descend into the temple, into the tabernacle, the inner court, in the form of a cloud. That is the same cloud or the same body within the inner temple of God, within the God's temple that we are being gathered into. It's a secret. That's why you see you notice that the tabernacle, the temples were all, you know, they all had the real structure hidden within it. You will need the revelation of the Spirit to actually navigate yourself into the inner court of God. Because if you are ignorant and just walking by the side, there's no way you would have known such, you know, glory dwelt within that temple. In likewise manner, within you, the confines of your very being, is the glory of God. See, but you can attain to it by allowing the Spirit lead you, guide you. Our prayer, our repentance today as men is to enter back into the courts of God, to experience life there, and to remain there in eternity. Praise God. Here comes the prayer of David, which is symbolic. Now the Spirit of God, these are things deliberately recorded. These are things deliberately recorded for our own benefit, to teach us certain things concerning the deeper things of God. Praise God. They are not just there for nothing. You don't have Psalm 51 written there for nothing. If you read beyond the letters, there is a message there. Because God's intention is to gather every man into the place of perfect peace, joy, harmony. To redeem man. He's not here to curse any man or destroy any man. He's here to redeem man, to reconcile all men. That is the work of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So in repentance, David goes into a prayer and a fast. All these are symbols. David went into a fast, a 7-day fast. And on the 7th day, the seed of fornication, that is the child he had with Bathsheba, died. Now all this is a symbolic. A 7-day fast. Oh, hallelujah. Prayers and fasting. What does it mean to pray and fast in the eyes of the Lord? This is about being religious. This is about facing the wall and, you know, repeating incantations. See, prayer has got nothing to do with repetitions of words. See, putting on a scarf. All those things you've done for many years, and it has never drawn you 1 inch nearer to God's kingdom. Praise God. We all seek the kingdom. See, come thy kingdom. Thy kingdom come. We all seek to realize the beauty of the temple of God. The beauty of this endless life. That is the Lord's. Rituals that we have observed over the ages don't help us in any way. See it, even the fasts. I've seen people who have fasted for 20 years, 30 years, continuous stretches, you know. We're not saying that the fast, you know, continuously like that, but what I'm trying to say is that people who make it a habit, you know, to fast for long periods of, you know, long periods over time, and they continue on and on over the years, and many never come to the full realization of life in its fullness, the beauty, the wondrous glory that is spoken of in God's temple. Praise God. Neither have men been able to overcome the flesh through fasting. You know, we've had theories that says you fast to kill the flesh. Prayer and fasting to put to death the flesh. And it doesn't work that way. We're not talking of just it doesn't mean just ordinary, you know, ritualistic prayers that we pray as men. Praise God. Like I said, the seed of fornication, which is the flesh, must die for us to enter back into life. Because the moment the son of David died, that's the son he had with Bathsheba, out of adultery, fornication, the moment that seed dies, we see that David, who had fasted up to the seventh day when the child died, suddenly gets up, changes his garment. I mean, obviously he took his bath, anointed himself, changes his garment, and now enters into the temple of God to worship God. All these are symbolic. Praise God. All this as a result of fornication, David was outside without the temple of God. He was an outcast. But suddenly, David is now granted entrance through repentance. How do we repent today? How do we pray today? How do we fast today? The key to prayers and fasting is seen in Isaiah chapter 58. It's not about being religious. It's about firstly recognizing this secret of our union with the Lord, that we are one spirit, meaning that to live, every man must live unto the name of the Lord. Must let go of everything to lay hold on that life. Everything that we have acquired in this world, to lay hold on that life. That's the first principle. First of all, to recognize this life and to pray, your prayer and your repentance and your fasting is to exercise yourself in this life. Praise God, hallelujah. He says, if you no longer speak your words, do your own pleasure, walk in your own ways, no more speak your words, do your things, but rather you are faithful unto the name of the Lord. Speaking the words of the Lord. It's not about quoting the scripture. We're talking here about walking in the spirit. Walking in the spirit, and the Lord is in the spirit. Are we seeing the link here? The Lord is the spirit. When Paul says walk in the spirit, it means walk in the name of the incorruptible, invisible Lord of glory. No longer speaking your words of vanity. Your ways are not my ways. Your words, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Put on the mind of Christ, a celestial mind. Return back to the eternal spirit, and you shall be built up. The seventh day the child died, which is a symbol of the Sabbath, which we just, Isaiah 58 speaks about the Sabbath. About fasting, keeping the Sabbath holy unto the Lord. The seventh day is also the last day. is the day of the Lord, holy unto the Lord. No flesh and blood exist in that day, that 7 day. It's an eternal day, consecrated unto the Lord. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. Exalt the name of the Lord. This is what the Spirit is indicating to us through the prayer of David. It's the prayer and fasting of David. The 7 day the child died, the 7 day the flesh and blood does not exist, is the Lord's day, the Lord's day, holy unto the Lord. And on that day, David enters into the inner courts of God. He's granted entrance back into the inner court of God, putting on a new apparel, a new garment, who speaks about the covering, the consciousness of Christ, the righteousness of the saint. Anointed his head with the anointing of the joy of the Lord, and entered into the court for prayers and for worship. See, the true worshippers worship God in spirit and in truth. If you want to worship God, is by realizing the life of the Spirit now where you are, and awakening to that life. That is worship. That is where you can enjoy the beauty and the majesty of God. The prayer of David is Psalm 51, after he had received the prophet Nathan. Praise God. He says, "Have mercy upon me." Psalm 51. O God, according to thy righteousness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Now, what is this transgression? What is this sin of David? Now, remember, we are speaking in a spiritual language here. We speak in a new tongue. We don't speak like men. We speak with the tongue of angels. We don't speak like men, you know, whose tongue, you know, strolls upon the dust like the serpent. See, we perceive things in a spiritual dimension. Fornication is not just man and woman, you know, meeting somewhere in the dark secretly and having fornication. No. We see what fornication means. Fornication is all about, you know, uniting with the flesh, neglecting the union with the Lord and joining ourselves with the world. That is fornication. And out of that fornication comes all the uncountable definitions that, you know, that we see in this world. So we are not bothered with that. We are speaking here of spiritual things. The transgression, the sin of David, the sin of mankind today, is against the Lord, who is your life. You sin against your own body when you commit fornication. The Lord is your body. Don't you know that you are the members of the body of Christ? The Lord is your body. So when you sin, you're actually sinning against the Lord, your body, your life. That's why David, by the Spirit, says, "Against thee and thee alone have I sinned." Praise God, hallelujah. Remember the Lord in the days of your youth. Remember the Lord, your life. This is our calling to the brethren. The sin and the transgression is man's deviation from the truth. And the Lord is the truth. Beside the Lord, there is none other. That is the transgression. Praise God. See it. And when a man deviates from the life of the Spirit, he's now subject to corruptibility. He's now bound to a sinful nature of lust. And therein comes your sin consciousness and everything, all the annihilation from the totality of the bountifulness of the life of God. So praise God. So our cleansing, our redemption is from this sin. See, that's why it says he has come to gather us back unto himself. See, he's come to gather us back unto himself so that we can, you know, together realize the beauty of that temple, which is God, a temple that remains in the heavens forever. Praise God. I'm going to go on to verse 5, Psalm chapter 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shaping iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desired truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Put me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, and the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Praise God. Let's pause there. Praise God. Put me with hyssop. See, hallelujah. This is the regenerating work of the Spirit in man today. See, the Spirit of God, it says, take not thy Spirit from me. What the Spirit of God actually does is to maintain man in the life of God. Because without the Spirit, the Spirit of God, you're actually cut off from everything that God is. See, that's why I say the Spirit of God, you know, reveals the deep things of God to us. The Spirit of God testifies of Christ in us, which is the body. The Holy Spirit reveals, announces the ages to come in God. He reveals the things that are freely given to us by virtue of our union with God. So only by the Spirit of God are we illumined to know our true righteousness, our perfection, and oneness with God. So once a man lives, you know, apart from that Spirit of God, then you are in outer darkness. And it can only go worse. No more joy. You lose out on the presence of God. You know, the presence of God is everywhere. But men are not illumined enough to realize that presence. Men are not illumined enough to dwell in that presence, to recognize that presence. In his presence is the fullness of joy, delights, shouts of joy. gladness of heart. Only in his presence can men rediscover the harps which hitherto has been, you know, abandoned by the banks of Babylon, the river Babylon. Praise God, hallelujah. We exalt you, Father, hallelujah. We see in this prayer of David the redemption work of God. Let your hope be only one thing, and that's to rediscover that bountiful life which is the Lord's. To rediscover that union that was severed in our minds from the day of the fall, so that you can walk freely in the glorious liberty of the sons of God, in his presence, with joy, with peace. Everything is at our disposal today. Praise God. Today our transgressions have been blotted out by the blood of Jesus. And every man can enter into God's temple clothed in white, in light garments. Every man. It's not for any particular person. Every man. All we need to do is to change our mindset in repentance and in prayers and in fasting. It's no longer I, but Christ. It's no longer I, but Christ. It's a continuous exercise in ourselves in this great mystery. The life of the Spirit. The union with the Lord. Hallelujah. The salvation of the Lord is realizing afresh, anew, the oneness that we all have with God. Because we are one spirit with the Lord. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. Praise God. David enters the temple to praise and to worship God. Praise God. Today, like David, every man can enter in by simply realizing this union with the Lord. Every man can enter by recognizing that he is part and parcel of that temple of God. That he is the temple of God. And enter in by the guidance of the Spirit. Back into that dimension which eyes of man have not seen, nor ears heard. Praise God. So the prayer of the saints today, like David, is to rediscover that realm, to rediscover that union. See, and you need a sacrifice. You need sacrifice to fast and pray. It's a sacrifice. It means denying yourself. Letting go of all. To lay hold on all. Praise God. We just spoke about the prayer of David. And I say, may the Lord cause you to experience in its fullness all that you just heard. Because the totality of the salvation of God is contained in our recognizing this great mystery of our oneness with the eternal Spirit. God bless you. Higher and higher and
yourself in the sight of